listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast that drops bi-weekly on a Tuesday that features me and two other co-hosts. And now you can't argue with that because these are just absolute facts. I'm your host, Mike Carosa. I'm behind the column Am I the Bullus over at CommandersHerald.com. And I am joined, as always, in the same room across two different countries by Michael Solani, a.k.a. Games Freak S.A. Hi, Michael.
I don't believe you. There has to be another podcast that has three people and drops bi-weekly on a Tuesday that talks about card games. It can't just be us.
I said specifically featuring us.
Featuring us?
Yeah.
I thought you said featuring two other people.
No. Me and two other people.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So are you on any other podcast that drop bi-weekly on a Tuesday?
Nope. The only one. And no one can take that away from us, Michael. I swear to God, Jesus himself, and all the other gods, Theros gods.
Name three of them.
Which ones?
Any three Theros gods.
Oh, Mogus, Keranos, and Farrica? Why did you pick those ones?
Why did you pick the crap ones?
I don't know. Hey, what? You take that back. Keranos and Mogus rip. Okay.
Thassa has entered the chat.
What does Keranos even do?
Xenagos?
Keranos does cool shit. I mean, stuff. I mean, God, guys, our producer's also a genius, and she's here on the show with us today. And always, every time. Morgan Sanchez also joins us. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, Mark. You know, I'm so old and into this game. I remember when creatures were not enchantments.
Seinfeld theme song, because Morgan's doing a bit from the thing. Remember? Anyway, I'm off my ass today. I'm on one today, I'll tell you. And guys, help me.
You're on like 50 milligrams of Dayquil right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I might have accidentally done the nighttime one. I'm not going to lie to you. I might have taken the nighttime one with an energy drink. Guys,
that one has guaifenesin in it.
Guaifenesin. That's a beautiful name for a little girl.
You'll be seeing Erebos.
You name
very
your little
soon.
Girl after an expectorant?
What?
Yeah, that's what the drug does. It breaks up mucus and makes you cough. It's an expectorant.
Well, I didn't know that. I just thought it sounded pretty.
Hold on. Let me Google that really quickly in case we need to.
Guaifenesin?
Yeah. Oh, thank God. That is what it is. Oh, thank God.
I think you're thinking of Guaifenesin, a Magic the Gathering card. And we're back. Guys, hello and welcome to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast that is hosted by us about Magic the Gathering. And
give it time.
Oh, God. Hey, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I have such a dumb headache. And I am ripping through feelings right now. Okay.
Speaking
I'm excited.
Of what? Ripping.
Uh oh.
Maybe.
You talk what about did you do?
Ripping maybe. Veins?
I'm thinking that maybe. Have you thought about.
Have I thought about what?
Vein Ripper. Vein as a solution Ripper. To your problems. Our Lord and Savior, Vein Ripper.
I have kept an eye on the old card sphere looking for a copy for you, but I didn't find one, but I didn't need to because I think you have an update for us.
So, the conclusion comes in Act 2 for me in this, which is brilliant because I've been waiting for this.
An Act 2 conclusion.
Act 2 finale. Just season ender.
Yeah, eat your heart out, Dune Part 3.
Damn!
The lovely Bellringer 87 has sent me a foil copy of Vein Ripper on Card Sphere. Not the white Vein Ripper, but the black one.
Non-dossier!
This is a black card.
Do you have it on the desk? Is it right near you?
Absolutely
not.
Do
you have it near you enough?
It's definitely real,
it's
though.
It's already in a deck and isn't... Okay.
I'm slowly building up to my Vampire Assassin deck, because if there's one thing I love, it's big black cards that do nasty stuff and have banging flavor text.
What happened to Bellringers 1 through 86?
He's decimated them all. He's ripped their veins. He's sent cards to everyone on that list and took the 87th spot.
That ring a bell?
Am I crazy?
LAPD? Get on those cold cases.
Uh-oh. Wait a second. Is this a matter of, like, Vein Ripper flavor text?
No, we're doing, like, a true crime bit right now.
Bellringer 1. Oh, God. I have to Google stuff to have a conversation right now. Bellringer 186.
Don't you have a podcast? It should make you feel young.
No, it should make you feel young. I don't have a podcast about true crime. Why? What?
You have one on The Bachelor.
Not anymore. We changed it to rom-coms.
That's just as strange.
I have to watch What Women Want after this. Anyway, look, we're not here to talk about rom-coms starring a monster. We're here to talk about Magic the Gathering. And congratulations,
hold on, Morgan.
What?
Can we talk about rom-coms starring a monster?
Nope. Anyway, we're going to keep talking about Magic the Gathering. Michael, I don't think you get it. We spend so much time off the top now that people are like, well, I think they got to get to the interview quicker. And then at the end, we're like, let's have another entire podcast at the end of this. Like, we just like, we got to get to the meat and potatoes so we get to talking about the card stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But before we get into that, I want to tell you that I'm excited because it has been a couple of weeks since Fallout has come out. And we're in the throes of Thunder Junction previews, I'm sure, by now. But I finally figured out what I want to do with Fallout stuff. And I found a lot of the stuff I want to do is making Secret Commander decks. And my first one is I've decided to combine Ariette and Three Dog as my Secret Commanders in, again, Arcanum Weaver deck. And it's just like this weird mess of making a bunch of tapped and attacking tokens so I can sacrifice whatever aura is on Three Dog, like all that glitters and Itali's Favor, and I can make just a bunch of different copies of them. And I'm excited about this idea. And so that's what I've been up to with Fallout. Have either of you guys been gripped by anything from the Fallout set?
Well, let me pull up the architect real quick of this deck that you've sent me. Well,
okay, it's not done yet.
Oh my god, you have to cut 47 cards?
Yes, what do you think? It's still me making the deck, Michael. I don't just get to 100 and think that's it. No more cool cards exist. You know what? You shouldn't even see my considering list. I cut away the considering list because I was embarrassed because I have 40 more cards in that. I'm almost at 200 cards considered for this deck. And you know what? I don't care.
Can you explain to me why Bedlam is in this deck?
Yeah, I don't know why either.
It's a 2 red enchantment that says creatures can't block.
Well, yeah, because then, you know, I could attack with Three Dog without worrying about it, but then all my tapped and attacking creatures that all of a sudden have all that glitters or, you know, Destructive Urge or like Ethereal Armor get through without worrying about any blockers. I don't know. Seems pretty good. Seems pretty good to put that in as a surprise. Uh-oh, it's in my graveyard. Surprise, tap Gen, get Bedlam out. Now guess what?
Why don't you just use invasion plans?
Yeah, I know. It's just Bedlam's such a dumb little card. I've always wanted to put it somewhere, and I thought I had it. But invasion plans is so much better.
I just took that off the top. I just remembered that card existed.
Attacking player chooses how each creature blocks, and each creature blocks whenever able.
Yeah, so you get to choose that they don't block.
No.
And then you get to choose everyone else blocks.
They have to block whenever able.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Must be thinking of Grand Melee or something like that. I don't know. There's like five of them that do all the same thing.
No, slightly different. Either way, I thought Bedlam was a fun include in this idea of a deck. Either way, I think I'm having fun. I think Fallout's got a lot going for it, and I have been scouring Cardsphere for, you know, copies of stuff that I can't find at no stores right now. Nuka-Cola vending machine, anybody? That's on my want list right now, and I keep looking at it like somebody's gonna post theirs up, like I'm about to snatch something, but... I gotta
guys,
give it time.
If you want a shout out on the show, all you have to do is sell Mike whatever he asks for.
Yeah.
And then you will be shouted out by name. That is a guarantee.
Hey, we could talk on the phone if you want to, and then you'll be the one trying to hang up on me.
Hey, speaking of the phones, hey Morgan, is anyone like on that thing?
The switchboard we got here?
Yeah. No, the phone.
The phone. There's no phones in the office.
I think you'd be able to see if someone was on the switchboard, like, physically.
Right, right.
They'd, like, be sitting on it.
We've got blinking lights on the switchboard.
Oh, well, that's good. Let's turn up that ringer. Let's make the blinking lights make more sense. Let's get to this call, then. All right, looks like we got a caller on the line. Caller, who am I speaking to today?
Hello, this is Kuro Hitsuki.
Kuro Hitsuki.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for asking.
Well, Kuro Hitsuki, I'm doing great. I'm happy to have you on this show. I'm looking forward to getting into it. Before we do, am I correct in saying that I know you from Twitch and Twitter as a Magic the Gathering personality?
Yes, so I am a Magic the Gathering, mainly commander, casual commander, internet personality, as it were. And yeah, I just love getting some spell table games in as many times as I can every week and just experiencing everyone's love for the game.
Fantastic.
Which might be a part of the topic tonight.
Okay. Okay, so yeah. Do you want to just get right on into that? It sounds like you have a through line. We don't even have to. I think this is going to be a subject heavy top end, and then we're going to like jam it out at the end and see what's going on. Well, so the love of the game triggered you saying is going to be something we talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. So spicy already.
So, yeah. No, it's and I it's something that I analyze myself kind of every now and then. And you know, I definitely want to ask. Ask. Am I the Bolas? You know, maybe I need an outside perspective on this. So,
okay.
Like I love EDH. I find it's like the at least, you know, for me and just the people I've interacted with, mm-hmm. is the best way to express people's love for many different parts of Magic. I have like 50 commander decks.
You got a lot of them behind you. I can see them.
Yeah, yeah. And like in each and every one of them, except for one, I love. I can look them out at any time and one. Like no, yeah, except Burcrag is the one I hate the most. I'm able to play them at any time as if I like just built them yesterday, and I love all of them. I connect to the commanders like just from the lore, from just like their cool abilities, blah blah blah. Like I am dedicated to them. And when I get to play commander against other players, I kind of like look for the same thing, you know, like whatever it is about Magic that you like, you know, show me like your spicy deck. Whenever I have people on for the show, I don't go like, oh, you know, give your most powerful deck or something like that. And most I just say like, hey, we're power level 6 to 8, whatever that kind of means to you. And Sol Ring's fine, but like Jeweled Lotus shouldn't be in like every opening hand sort of thing. And but really, like I just tell people to bring their spiciest deck, right? Like what is it that they want to bring to the table that they have laughed with the most, right? Their opponents have laughed playing against it, they've laughed playing it. You know, that's the vibe that I always want to bring to the table.
Spicy and laughter, two words.
Yes.
That will I mean, already we're dealing with subjective terminology.
Yeah.
And I love that. That is what you're looking for. You're looking for what it means to that person.
Yes.
So it does feel like you're angling to get a game in with the person rather than the deck, which I see.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Okay. Right.
So, on to my question.
Please.
Am I the Bolas?
Hit me.
I have an utter hatred for group hug decks.
Ooh.
I do not like them. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like group hug decks. Now,
oh, wow.
This is probably like where my, you know, my toxic trait comes out in terms of like the decks that I play, or at least like how I like to play Magic.
Uh-huh.
One, I don't function well with decks that give things at, like to any players. Not something I do well.
I
now,
see.
Mind you, in the game,
mm-hmm.
I am all about like the politics. I stick to every deal I make. You know, if it's just
course.
Like I'm not going to attack you, I made that deal. Even if I'm going to lose, like that's what we've determined. Like
right.
So I don't break any deals or anything like that. And during the actual gameplay, I'm down for like, hey, listen, I'll help you draw a card because I have like Jay, you know, baby Jay Sal.
Right, right.
Like that. But that's like in the game. That's, you know, you're doing the best you can to survive as just like, you know, as the cards lay. But group hug is like a declaration from the beginning to the end of the game that like no matter how well or poorly you built your deck, it basically doesn't matter.
Okay.
For example, a couple months ago, there was a player who said like, okay, I just built this deck and I kind of want to test it out, right?
Okay.
I'm like, okay. And I think I was playing at the card store. Or one of the players went, okay, like I have a group hug deck. Or I have just like kind of a normal deck and blah, 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 blah. Now, my mind was just like, okay, well, if someone just built a deck, if you have a group hug deck, you've basically not learned anything about your deck, right?
Right,
if someone's
exactly.
putting lands into your hand,
that's
you have
my reaction
zero... Right, yeah, you have zero context if you've put enough land in your deck. You have zero context if you put enough draw in your deck, enough interaction, blah, 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 blah. But that person instead immediately went, oh, yes, I'd love that. Like, because then I get to, like, play the deck and everything. I'm just like, you know, I like that, you know, it's truly just a difference in perspective. Because, you know, when I build my Magic decks, like, I spend a lot of time on them. You know, I love them very dearly. Same. And I spend a lot of time on them when I first make them. And I'm trying to craft a well-constructed description of myself and my relationship with this card that I am expressing to you through this game of Magic, right? Like, it's this is me. This is, like, the mistakes and the triumphs that I've made that I am trying to show to you.
Hell
yeah. And if I beat you, that's great, because that was, like, through my effort. If you beat me, that's completely fine. You know, I don't take the losses personally. That's fine. You spoke to me, I spoke to you, and this is just, like, how it happened. That's great. But when there's group hug and someone makes me draw five cards, it's like, ugh. I mean, cool. You know, like, as that game is, cool. I drew five cards.
Right.
But my personal joy, or at least one of the factors of the joy I get out of the game, is kind of just thrown out the window. You know, my conversation with you and the other two players isn't really a conversation anymore. We're just kind of throwing cards around, and like, that's not the same how it is for others, right? And that's completely fine. However, I do focus the group hug player to death.
Okay,
because they ruined my game.
I see.
Right? They ruined my fun.
I see.
Howdy, do they squirm? It definitely depends on, like, the experience of the group hug player.
For sure, yeah.
I'll know this, like, you know, if they've been playing Magic and Commander for years, they'll most, like, honestly, I run into more group hug players now who are just like, yeah, I get it, right? Because they've probably run into other people like this or whatever. And typically a good enough player to know what it is they're doing.
Right.
Okay, like, I'm on to you. Okay.
A group hug deck is a long game.
I see you.
Is what it
right.
is.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. Oh, we'll get to that part. But it's like, you know, I do see the part where they are technically gaining more than, like, the rest of us.
Right.
Which I'm okay with that part. The fact that, like, someone, ideally the person who's playing, is getting more out of something than the others. I like those type of group hug decks.
I do too, but I do think it's interesting that those decks tend to not be centered in black when that feels like the blackest thing that you could do.
You would imagine.
Yeah.
I think, like, the funnest group hug deck I've played against in recent memory is a new Rocco.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Very fun.
And it's because it's so very clear that you are gaining while this, like, kind of not minuscule, but, like, you're giving everyone, like, a little, like, a, you know, 0.7 of a card, but, like, you're getting, like, a 1.2. And that's very clear. And I like, I love new Rocco.
Rocco's on the roster of cards that I, you know, the list of commanders that you keep looking at going, which one am I going to tinker with next?
Right. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, when it comes down to just, like, Kineos in Tiro decks, right? And it's just like everyone, you know, like, plays two extra lands per turn and draws three extra cards and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, very rarely do I run into people who the Kineos and Tiro deck are actually the ones making more use of those cards. It's always someone else at the table who's absolutely running away with the game, right? Because their deck was already, like, built well enough, and you're just adding to it. Whereas the Kineos and Tiro deck had to take out, like, probably five win cons in order to put in Howling Mine and, you know, Force Fruition and all those stupid green cards that lets everyone put extra lands in the play. Like, instead of running your own Cultivate, you said that everyone gets to put in three lands. Those decks end up being, like, second or third place while they're still enabling everything. And it's always one other person at the table, like the dragon deck at the table, who is no longer restrained by the fact that, like, all their cards cost 7+.
Right.
And instead, they get to play that 7+ creature on turn 4. And it's your fault.
A dragon deck, like, getting to be on the same curve as an elf deck is not...
Yeah.
It's not the same, you know?
Right. And it just takes away that part of Magic where it's just like, okay, like, as a dragon deck, how do you make sure that you don't just get trounced by every elf deck that walks by? Mm-hmm. Like, what cards did you put in to make sure that happened? Oh, you put in a Crux of Fate. You put in, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, deal damage to non-dragons, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, you put in that effort, and it costs you a turn. It costs you playing a dragon in order to board wipe it so that you can, like, you know, play the dragon next turn with, like, you know, no creatures on the board.
It costs you another dragon in deck building, you know?
Right, exactly, exactly. But now with the group hug deck, it's like, well, you just got, I mean, God, why do I need a board wipe when I could just put in 5 dragons? You know, right. Like, I guess I'll just do that instead. And it's just like, well, that's not how this was supposed to go. Like, 7 mana was supposed to mean something, and now it doesn't. And it's not even due to you, it's due to someone else who isn't even winning.
Well, I'll say, as someone, so, like, the last game I ended up playing at Commander Sealed in August was with against Lenny Woolley's group hug deck, and we were a bigger pod. I think we were like 5 or 6 people in a pod.
Oh my God.
And that, look, I'll tell you what, I was playing my baby. I was playing my Lizolda the Blood Witch deck, the Rakdos sacrifice deck, and I love her. She's so fun. It's a ridiculous I just love that deck. It's my favorite deck. And the fact that I don't get to have such turbocharged elements to it because it's Rakdos. I'm not about to make the most mana on turn 2. But, you know, there I was, and come turn 4, I'm the one running away with it. I've got Sack Outlets and Zulaport Cutthroat and a Mana Echoes and a way to keep making tokens and sacrifice them, and then, you know, all that stuff. And that's the kind of thing that wouldn't happen so early, right?
Right.
And so part of it is, like, hey, it's cool to see this deck being able to go toe-to-toe with another deck that is known to win a lot quicker at the table.
Right.
But at the very same time, I won that game, and I felt like, well, the group hug helped a lot.
Right.
So.
Oh, it basically carried the game kind of for you.
Yeah. I agree that the group hug deck being, I think group hug is something that you play with trusted folks. I feel like that's something that you can get away with. Is like, there's one guy who's got a group hug deck in your group who's like, I'll play it every now and then if we need to, like, have a last game. Or we needed to go fast. Hey, there's a place for group hug deck. There's even, you know, podcasts dedicated to this. The EDH Social Contract is a podcast where they talk about group hug decks almost exclusively, and they've got really cool ideas. There's a lot of cool group hug stuff out there, but nobody can blame you for not being into it. I get the idea of, like, I have to earn my victory. I have to earn my game actions. I've spent all this time making this work for on its own without working with, in the deck building, you're working with opposition as opposed to assistance. So I definitely understand where your frustration with group hug decks come from, for sure. I mean, again, cutting back to that game, I did not feel like I really won that one. I did. You know,
you did, but like, did I win?
No.
Right.
No.
Or did the deck just kind of like, I spilled cards on the table and I had enough mana to cast them all on turn 2. So, like, I guess.
Yeah. I guess the real win was that I played Totentance from the then new set.
What? Yeah. Whoa, an X spell won you the game after someone let you put 5 lands in the play? No, not the swarm.
I played the uncommon legend.
Oh. The actual guy?
Yeah, I played the guy. You know, you sacrifice thing, get a rat, sacrifice a rat, get another, you know, you play another guy.
You just had all the pieces out there. Exactly. Yeah.
That was the win, but it's like, I'm not going to be able to have all my sac pieces out there without it being like, hey, Braid's Conjurer Adept is out here. All right. Everybody put something down.
Oh my God. Blue Braids. So, And I will always be the first to mention to someone that, like, their deck is the, like, best most fun time I've ever had playing against it. Mm-hmm. I just played, I want to say last month, my favorite Blue Braids deck ever. Okay. And it was, honestly, it came down to how the person played, because, like, it was a regular game of Magic. Mm-hmm. Of, like, you know, I'm playing my rocks and doing blah, blah, blah. So other person's doing that, blah, blah, blah. The Blue Braids player didn't play Blue Braids until late game, where it's just like, okay, well, late game, I've gotten, like, all of, you know, every five is a mana value and less card is already out on the field because that's how the game. Okay, Braids. Now I just have, now everyone's just like, okay, I have, like, this 1/8 drop I didn't cast yet. But the Blue Braids player had 2 8 drop spells. So not only did they get to put one of those into play for free, but they also got to cast that other, like, the other card in their hand too, right? Like, they were winning in the top end because they were outvaluing people because their deck was built to have, you know, kind of bigger things later.
Sounds like
in the game.
Someone who knows their deck, something that you value.
Oh my God.
You it value was, that considerably.
Like, objectively, that was, not only was it one of my favorite Grubhug decks I've ever played against, but, like, easily the best Blue Braids experience I've ever had, because it was, you know, it was losing to a really well-constructed deck, I guess, or at least, like, you know, it felt that way. It kind of just came off that way. Versus, and it wasn't even, like, you know, just hardcore losing, right? Like, they just had more value. They had enough mana to play one of those spells. Right. They just happened to be able to play two. And, like, that's just kind of, like, that value that you get at the end. And it was really cool.
Were there any other Grubhug pieces besides Braids?
Not necessarily. You know, I think it is hard to remember.
So would that be considered a Grubhug deck then? You know what I mean?
I mean, that's true. That is a question of itself. Like, is the commander enough to warrant that this is a Grubhug deck?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just a value blue card? Like, it could have just been in the 99. Technically, right? And that's also very true. So maybe that's why
that's the best Grubhug deck
I ever played, because it wasn't Grubhug.
Yeah, your favorite Grubhug deck is ostensibly just not a Grubhug deck. It's a single Grubhug card that comes out late.
My favorite Grubhug deck was an enabler for one person to get 2 free cards for everyone else's 1 free card. Yeah, you're right. That does explain a lot. Oh, but what I was saying before, you can kind of, like, tell how long someone's been playing. An older player will recognize that they are a problem and that not everyone likes Grubhug. And and I am attacking them because of it. And they will take it on the chin.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love all the people who I play Grubhug Magic against on my streams have pretty much always universally, like, understood and, like,
well, you
and,
gotta.
At the very least. Yeah, yeah. No, you do.
Got and your
at
promoters the very least, like, detractors. My, if someone, you know, you're going to have people that are going to love the Grubhug decks. You're going to have people that hate it. Same with stats.
And I'm a hater. You're a hater. If there's one hater left of Grubhug,
you heard it here first.
It's me.
Kuroitsugi, a hater.
Yeah. But newer players.
Uh-huh.
100% are like, but why are you attacking me? I, like, let you draw 2 cards with Howling Mind.
Mm-mm.
And then I stare at them in their beady eyes and I say, right, but you also gave 2 of my opponents 2 more cards.
Mm.
And that one played a 7 drop dragon on turn 4 and it's your fault. And I can't beat that. So I'm going to attack the one person I can beat because you didn't play any creatures. You played too many Howling Mines and you're open. So I'm attacking you. I'm going to take 1 person out here.
No.
This is the person who
Primal
ruined my
Digger.
Game.
Everybody gets
Oh my God. I hate them so much. I hate those cards. It's never the person who played the Primal Vigor.
I mean, the only time I've seen a Primal Vigor get used well was, I think, in a Feldegrift deck with a Dingus Staff or whatever the kill.
Right. A Dingus Staff. Like, yeah, you're if you have a combo assembled and basically all you did was play a card that said you get 2 tokens and then you went off with that, that's great. But when someone plays Primal Vigor on turn 5, and then right. passes.
Right.
What the hell are you doing? now there's five dragons out because someone's playing Mimir, whatever.
Mimirum, yeah.
Mimir, oh, I want to forget about that card. But like
who doesn't
like,
want to
okay,
forget about that card? Players who play Mimir,
like,
that's
right.
But
that's always what it is, right? It's just like Primal Vigor turn five, and it's just like, are you winning off of this? No, Primal Vigor turn five, and then Kineos and Tyro turn six. It's just like,
huh?
What? Why did you do this then?
Yeah, wrong order, like, too. Why would you do it like that, you weirdo?
I don't know, because they played,
you know, they played
Righteous Spring. I don't know. Like, right, yeah.
Oh, all of them.
And this is a call out.
This is a call out for group hug decks.
This is a call out to group hug players. And they
Mike and
Lapper
have to defend themselves.
They know who they are when I say this. Oh my god. If I see one more one mana enchantment that gives all creatures haste, I'm going to flip. Okay?
Which one do you hate crossroads? More, the red one or the green one?
The green one. Concordant Crossroads, that reprint, I was so sad. Like, I'm only ever sad to see, like, those sort of cards reprinted. I'm like, no, please, keep that in the depths. Concordant Crossroads, giving everyone haste. Now, at the very least, like, if it's a green deck with Concordant Crossroads, it's probably backed up by, like, an Elf Ball deck. And they're going to take advantage of the
oh, yeah. They're just going to play six elves in one turn on turn one.
So at least I'll die sooner, most likely, right? Yeah. But just still, I built my deck. And this just comes down to me. I don't really have haste in a lot of my deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I build around the fact that I don't have haste. And ideally around the fact that only maybe two players at the table will have haste, but maybe not all three.
Uh-huh.
Like, I will put in, you know, boots to make sure, like, at least one thing has haste.
Right.
Or, you know, some spell to give something haste if it matters.
I've got Thousand Year Elixir out because I need to figure...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll make that happen. Like, I have a Rami deck, you know? Like, one blue-black target creature gets Encore.
Yeah. From your graveyard. Love that card. Yeah. I've got that deck. Love it.
Yeah. I don't need her to have haste on turn three.
No.
I played her into an empty graveyard.
Yeah.
So then nobody attacks her, like,
that's
deals
it.
With her.
But she's still got
and
a body.
And then when it becomes my turn, I dredge something,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to, like, at least get one Arami trigger off. Right. Like, that's why I did it. I played around, you know, the fact that my commander doesn't have haste despite, like, quote-unquote wanting to, right? Mm. But, like, now that she has haste, it's just like, well, that didn't do anything for me. I spent 3 mana to cast her. I need to have... What's in my graveyard that costs, like, you know, less than the mana I already did to caster?
Right.
So haste meant nothing.
Mm-mm.
But boy, howdy, does it always, always mean something to the other three players at the board. Always. Like, 100% of the time. It's always just like, wow, I didn't expect for my my Eldrazi to have haste, but...
Here we go.
I guess it does now.
Oh, I guess I'm destroying a permanent and we're doing Annihilator.
Right,
and...
yeah. It's like, cool. Great. Whose fault is this? Oh, it's yours.
The group hug player. Now you have to go in at them. I think.
Yes.
As much as I do think that group hug is a valid, like, it's all valid, right? It's a valid strategy.
It's
the cards in the game, etc. But I will say, if we're sitting down to a table, like, if I'm sitting down, if I'm pulling up a chair at a table that's got a group hug deck, and they're resolved, they're like, they are resolute in playing this group hug deck, they absolutely need to do it. I'm gonna be like, okay, the rest of us should pick underpowered decks and have that fun
way.
Because maybe that's, like, you know, the compromise, right? Like, you're not gonna be like, if my deck is tuned to be an 8 and it's ready to go off, and you know, it already, it's gonna be fine. Like, I having a group hug deck at the table is just going to juice me and not the rest, or it's going to juice everybody and you're going to have to deal with all of it all at once. And the group hug player, what's their deal? They're going to wait until everybody's got too many lands and do that, like, damage equal to lands thing.
I wish that was a win con I saw more often.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, damage to everyone that has like special lands in play. Like, I wish I saw that more often.
Like a triple copy price of progress against your opponents who don't run basics.
I like that's like a group hug. Like, listen, it's a Nekusar deck, right? Mm-hmm. I'm okay with Nekusar decks,
right?
Because like the game plan's pretty straightforward, and also if I interact with that game plan, mm-hmm. I'm actually hurting you,
right? Yeah.
Like if I destroy a Nekusar's Howling Mind, not only does the game, you know, kind of resume some sense of normalcy, which is already what I like, but I actually did hurt like 100%. The person that cast it.
Oh my god, if you get rid of my Nekusar, that's, you know, now I'm just giving cards away for free instead of hurting you for them. That's not what I want, right?
I'm a hater, so I'm gonna hit the Howling Mind. Stop getting my.
I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing about a Nekusar deck is that it's a wheels deck, so you're basically fueling hand and graveyard. It's a nightmare,
right?
But
yeah, depending on how it is. But
you
go
fast enough, everybody's life total is done.
Right, and still, like, I'm interacting with like the deck and what it wants to do, and if I beat it, it's because I interacted well enough.
Right,
that's awesome. And also, it's hurting my opponents, too, so...
How do we know that a lot of... So, let's take, for example, a group hug deck piloted by an expert player that you know, you can tell, has been at it for a while. They've got a group hug deck. What makes you... So, you say, Nekusar, I can interact with it, I can do this, I can do that. There's definitely a plan.
Right. And it's meaningful when you interact with it.
So, what's the difference here with, like, some decks that you've seen that you're like, this is a group hug deck, there's nothing to it? What are we missing from those decks to be the deck that you're not, like, outright hating on just for having a Howling Mind?
If it's clear, at least enough to me, that this is part of your plan to make you win the game. If you are gaining something off of this that leads to you winning the game versus just seemingly doing it for the sake of doing it.
So let's say if you're somebody who's like, I'm a threatened deck and I want everybody to play creatures real cheap. You know, that's okay.
Sure.
Well, then that'll do it. That'll set you over the top with that. Okay.
Yeah. Or like we talked about before, it's like, oh, I put a bunch of lands into play. Okay. Well, now price of progress. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, like I, that's sick. Like, you outplayed us. That's fantastic. Like, very well done. Okay. Or a Nekusar, right? Nekusar is like the most obvious example because like, just look casually in the direction
the text
you know
box
what Nekusar
says,
is about.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like,
the text box says it hurts you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or the new Rocco was just like, it was something that, you know, like, it didn't have to go super ham on Group Hug, right? But, like, I could just clearly see that they were gaining forward momentum on being just a little bit higher than their opponents without having to just go, like, full ham into just, like, you know, everyone get 5 lands into play and, you know, draw 50 cards. Just for the sake of like, you know, aren't I everyone's friend? I made you draw 50 cards.
Yeah, yeah. I think when it comes to group hug, that's the argument. That's the thing that I could do without is the
yes.
It's like, come on, we're having fun. I did something so good for you, right? And you're like,
oh my god,
you know what you're doing. Let's own up.
Why are you hitting me?
This is so in
why
chaos.
Are you
it's
me?
A chaos deck without the chaos cards, is what group hug feels like.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to skip ahead to turn 8.
Right. Yeah. My group hug deck is Vazi Keen Negotiator.
Right. It does feel like Vazi Keen should be the name. I didn't realize that the comma is before Keen Negotiator. I thought it was Vazi Keen, Negotiator. Found that out last
that
week.
All the time.
Oh, I just found that out. I felt so silly. Vazi Keen is Vazi Keen is the one that says, you can tap it to give your an opponent an amount of treasures equal to the amount that you created this turn?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
But
right?
When an opponent casts something with a treasure, you draw a card.
Right. Whenever an opponent when they cast
or
a spell with a treasure,
ability.
I put a plus and counter on a creature, and I get to draw a card.
And it's also activating abilities, which is important, too. Okay, so anytime they spend it.
Somehow it's like not technically used for everything, but like,
okay.
If they're used for casting spells and abilities, you can't just like if someone just sacrifices them to some ability, that doesn't.
Right. So, for instance, if a Ruthless Technomancer comes down and you sacrifice, well, then again, you're sacrificing them. It's not mana from a treasure, but
is that?
So it would have to be mana from a treasure being used. I have it here. Whenever an opponent casts a spell or activates an ability, if mana from a treasure was spent to cast it or activate it, put a plus one counter on target creature, then draw a card.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, this seems fun.
Yeah.
Even in a deck where I'm not giving away any treasures, hey, people have treasures all day.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm, you know, especially as stingy as I am, I'm rather controlled with how many treasures I give. She lets me, like, you know, it's just equal to what I've made that turn, so I can make two
and give them
to someone and then keep on making more.
You don't have to dockside into here's 30.
Right, which I just don't even have dockside in the deck because I never want to give someone that many. Why would I want to give someone a literal dockside, right?
Many.
Yeah. So like that, yeah, it actually allows me to make a treasure deck where dockside's not in it because like what?
Sometimes but, it feels like decks get made with that as a challenge. You know, you throw down, it's like, what's a deck that this was? That's how my Omnath Locus of the Royal deck. I have no Soul Ring in that deck. That was how I came about that.
Yeah, completely makes sense. But yeah, it's like I, you know, for me, this is a deck where it's like my goal is pretty clear. Mm-hmm. Because like in the deck I have like, okay, when an artifact comes into play, deal damage to everyone, right? Oh, like Summoning Station is like a combo I have in there, right? It's like whenever I can tap it, make a 2/2 pincher. Whenever an artifact is put into the graveyard from play, I may untap Summoning Station. Cool. You want to crack a bunch of treasure to pay for a spell because I gave you a bunch?
Untap every time.
Right. Like that's my style of like, you know, a group hug deck where it's just like, I am using you in order, you know, giving you something. But like, I am very clearly, pretty obviously, like, that's part of my plan to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, I mean, that's my style. That this is like the closest to group hug I can get, where I can willingly give someone.
You won't give them just
things
anything
that might make them win.
Yeah.
But it's part of the plan. It's all part of the plan.
As far as treasures, as far as group hug goes, treasures feel like, in a controlled amount, just fine. They're mana acceleration, but they're limited mana acceleration, unlike the green group hug decks that tend to give lands.
Lands, yeah. Right. Oh, God, I couldn't.
I see.
Well, I could never.
I guess it's a matter, like, you got your preferences, and I think that people who love group hug decks aren't about to change their tune anyway, but I think...
No.
I can't fault anybody for liking or not liking particular styles of play, like we know that, you know, some people don't like edict effects, you know, or like repeated like Dictative Erebos stuff. That's fair. Yep. But there's somebody out there that loves a sacrifice loop, you know. I'm a sacrifice player, but I did ditch the Grave Pact and whatever. But you know, some people hate a deck that's gonna do, you know, clone your stuff, you know what I mean? Or
right,
people hate theft decks, stuff like stuff, that. Exactly. Right, yeah. So, to me, I'm just it's a part of the game. If you don't want to play against that, like, that's, it is what it is. But like, it's part of the game. If you don't want to play against it, we won't sit down for another one, or I'll play another deck later. You know, it is what.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's just like one game.
Yeah,
right. We learn something, and then when
you can be a hater, but then also you're a human being. You're not about to
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also one of the reasons why I'm very pro, like, the idea of just having, like, keep making commander decks. I have 48 of them.
You got them.
One, because I love them and I can't, and I can't take them apart and I don't have to.
Uh-huh.
But also, like, it does let me, you know, like, okay, this is, like, the type of pod we want to have.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly fine. I don't have to go to a different table. No one has to feel bad about like a certain level of deck.
Right.
Because I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm good to go.
You got one.
You know.
I have to dismantle a few. I started last month with about 40 and now I'm getting closer to 25. And I know. Dang. I'm trying to be ruthless about it. I'm trying to be ruthless
about
it.
That is ruthless.
It was easy when like 10 of them were pre-cons. You know what I mean? So like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I do still have the Warhammer pre-con sleeved up because I think that's a fun little pod to just have. And then also the Baldur's Gate pre-cons were just exceptional. So I thought I'd keep those together. But otherwise, like, it's just all decks. And then you're looking at them, you're like, I don't play this one at all. What am I doing? And then you goldfish it and you're like, well, this is what I'm doing. I love this.
Right.
I love what this is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Mm-hmm. But you got a lot of decks. It's very fun. Which, before we get out of here, I want to know what's a deck that you've been having a lot of fun jamming lately? What's one that comes to mind the moment I say that?
It's all of them.
There's
so many of them.
I know.
I love them all so much. I'm probably gonna play Vazikeen tonight now that we've talked about it.
Hard to pick just one.
I mean, like, right, like Erebras and Aragorn, King of Gondor have been like my like, this is my Magic personality right. decks, like, pretty much since they've come out.
Aragorn, King of Gondor is what you played on Shuffle Up and Play, right?
Yes, nice. Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah, this is the Jeskai Monarchy type of one.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I would say Will Sign of Peace has been a fun challenge. You're just, like, making a deck that, I guess, like, can prove that a character I like can be just as good as one, a character I don't quite care for, but also a character that I don't care for that everyone else seems to like and hate my character instead. So
are you talking about, like, Rowan? What was the
Rowan? Yeah. You know, I built the deck to be like, you know what? Will can be as wacky and wild as Rowan. Mm-hmm. All right. Rowan just has it easier. Losing life is a lot easier than gaining life, but I can still kick butt.
Yeah,
but yeah. So that challenge, it was a fun, challenging deck.
Okay.
To make, and it's still like, there's still variance in it. There was a recent game, at Commander Sealed.
Okay.
My recorded game at Commander Sealed. I like had Will out, and I expropriated on like turn four.
Okay.
For like four extra turns.
Because you're gaining life. I see. Okay.
And all I did was play three lands.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God.
No, you didn't.
I didn't draw a single good card. I just played three lands. Carl. And then on the final extra turn, I got, what's the one drop? Sarah Ascendant. Like, but after, right? Like, after all of those turns, God. I got to play Sarah's Ascendant and then pass turn. It was so bad.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
But, yeah, like,
you're hyping up the deck so much and then going, I expropriated into three extra turns and did nothing with them.
Not a dang thing. But I mean, it was still. But like, that's my style of deck. Where it's just like, I did play a super cool spell.
You did
way cheaper than normal. But like, you know, it's a toss up in the air if it's gonna mean anything.
I love that the story's what's living on. That's the most important part, I think. True. Yeah. You have that memory. That's not going anywhere. It doesn't matter. Anytime you pick up that commander. Even if you dismantle the deck here, you know,
I won't.
Should for some reason you decide, whatever.
Right.
Or even if you're just in Scryfall and you click on random card and Will Sion of Peace shows up, you're probably going to look at it and be like, remember that expropriate that was just basically Far Wanderings with Threshold Mount, huh?
That's right. Yeah, and I'll always remember Blue Braids. It's like, you know what? I actually did have a good Blue Braids game. It was really good. Or when I see Rocco, I'm going to go like, this is actually my favorite group hug commander.
That's tight.
That I've ever played against.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. And then whenever I see Glunch, I'm going to, you know. I actually like Glunch.
Let's name all the group hug characters, and then you're also going to be like, you know who I hate? Actually, it's pretty good. He's like, he's fine. I like
it. That is me. That is actually pretty typical of me. Once I actually start thinking about it, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I don't hate it that much.
Yeah.
But I do like Glunch. Glunch is cool. That's I want more cards like Glunch, where like one person doesn't gain anything. Uh-huh. The person who cast Glunch gains the best thing that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scraps are left over for two people. I want way more group hug cards like that.
Infighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's deals being made.
Glunch is surprisingly insidious that way. For anybody who hasn't played Glunch, enjoy a little Glunch.
Yes.
Kuro, we gotta wrap this up. I know you stream, you're on Twitter, whatever we're going to call it, on Twitter, we're calling it Twitter, at Kuro Hitsuki.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? What would you like them checking out?
Definitely check out the Twitch channel, which is also Kuro Hitsuki. I'm playing Commander games four times a week.
Holy.
Like two pods a day. Okay. There's a lot of magic going on.
Nice.
But yeah, if you want to see any of these 48 plus decks in action, or if you want to see me rant, every single time I run into a group,
every time
I run into a group hug deck, I will. I do it. I do it. I also like don't disallow group hug decks either. Right. I'm not in any way, shape or form like having people not play them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I
but they know
I still
want to
know what
them.
People's expression is. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, they should know by now that I'm swinging at them.
Uh-huh.
And at no amount of why are you hitting me?
Uh-huh.
I gave you this will stop me. Not no amount.
Uh-uh.
Not
this
none
is why I'm
whatsoever.
Hitting you. This is the
exactly.
reason.
Exactly.
Well, be sure to check out Kuro Hitsuki on Twitch and on Twitter. Thank you so much for calling in, Kuro. And looking forward to catching some of those games. Take care.
Take care, everyone.
Wowee! Shout out to Kuro Hitsuki for calling in with honestly, a banger and a controversial pet peeve. Kuro Hitsuki, thank you so much, so much for joining us today and having a chat about group hug decks and how you dislike them. That said, you know, without people like Kuro, without people like you, the listener and the reader of the column, sending me stories or, you know, pitching me ideas and coming on the podcast, like, this doesn't happen. So thank you so much for participating in this Am I the Bolus, Am I the Bolcast world. And if you have a story that you want to share, send it to amithebolus@gmail.com. I will read it. Personally, I will say that I also this very week received probably the most frustrating of emails I've gotten in a while. And I'm excited for that to come out. And I believe it comes out tomorrow. Considering the release schedule, that one should come out tomorrow. So keep an eye out on that at CommanderSerial.com. And also shout out to everybody watching this on YouTube. I know there's no visual and it's just the podcast with our logo, but some folks really like it that way. And shout out to you. Shout out to you for listening. And shout out to when you comment. We've got Simon Teasdale in the comments saying, hooray, new episode. I'll give commentary when I'm finished. And then he's got two edits in here talking about if you want to be in different countries but the same room, try the Belgium-Netherlands border in the town of Barl-Nassau. Either that or there's probably some houses built on the Wales-England border. And I will say, America friggin' rules, dude. Hell no, I'm not leaving America. Oh, wowee.
You're Canadian.
What was that? Anyway, edit number two is about Michael's deck from the last episode where he talks about Eradicate and Spy Kit and talking about how the end is a little bit of redundancy in that, which is kind of spicy. But that said, thank you for commenting, Simon. Really appreciate you being in the fray. And thanks, everybody, for listening. This means a lot to us. Now, let's get to the voting system and let's discuss, honestly, a real heater of an opinion, okay? This is going to be what a discussion to have and also what an opinion to have. Surprisingly bristly. I'm very excited. I like this one.
I actually like the fact that we have one that's not just a complete gimme for once.
Oh yeah.
Like, honestly,
exactly.
I feel like my job was being done for me in the last
couple
of episodes, but
we're gonna all fight.
We're gonna have a chat this episode.
I'm gonna kill a man.
And then we'll have a group hug.
Hell yeah. All right, Morgan, you're up. You gotta tell the people how does the voting break down?
All right. So keep it super fast, super quick. every time. Faster.
Yes.
So the vote system works. Me and Solani, we each have one vote, and it's worth 1 point.
Yes.
And then Mark's vote is worth 3 points, which means that our votes don't really matter, but we do it anyway because it's the bit, and we try to do it faster every time so that you can understand it and hopefully get a little bit of something new every time.
You know what? We've made it so fast that you've acknowledged that it's a bit. And you know what, folks? We're going to slow it down so we don't acknowledge that it's a bit next time. We're going to make it longer than it first ever was. Next time, you'll see. I don't know who the next episode is right now, but we'll see. The next episode, you'll need time to get around the voting.
Right. You're right, Mike. If it was longer, it would be better.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm thinking. Shut up, Solani.
Took you a while.
It takes me always so long. I don't think that way. I don't think that way so fast. Also, let me just put this out there for real quick. I'm Mike Carozza's Mark Carbonza, same person.
Everybody knows that.
Some people write in emails. Not everybody. Some people be writing emails like, Mark, I don't know if this hey, Mike, I don't know.
That means we're doing it right.
To get to Mark,
they're looking.
Mark,
they're trying to find the right person. So
I don't like it. I had a regret, and I'm living through it anyway. So point is, I get a vote that counts for three. Michael and Morgan get a vote that counts for one. Folks, it's time for us to get to the question. Morgan, how would you sum this up?
Kuroitsuki wants to know, am I the bolus for having a, quote, utter hatred of group hug decks?
Damn! 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 Michael, you're up first.
Oh, God.
Feel free to serve Dakota up on a silver platter, Solani, because I'll take a bullet. I'll take a couple bullets from our farewell tour at MagicCon.
Dakota, your boyfriend.
Yeah, the one playing that ridiculous Kenrith deck. That was not a group hug deck. No group was being hugged in that deck.
It was a group.
Get him. Get him.
Massacre.
He hit us until we all died. That's not group hug.
Nice.
That's like the opposite of what you want to do in a Magic game. What you want to do in a Magic game is sit around and dirtle doing ridiculous bullshit for 30 minutes until you accomplish it with a 4-card combo that comes out of nowhere and uses a card from Vision.
Speaking my language.
That's the way our forefathers lived their lives.
Our four papas, the four daddies.
Now everything sucks. Now everything's Fallout this and Doctor Who that and Final
Fantasy
whatever.
I'm sorry. I'm not about it anymore. I stop you right there.
I'm just teasing you, Jesus.
No, you're not. You know I like me a little bit of Universes Beyond.
Group hug.
They get creative with their designs in that.
Group hug.
Yes.
You're not allowed to dislike an entire archetype. I'm sorry. That's just against the rules. Okay?
Okay.
I don't care if it's group hug. I don't care if it's aggro. I don't care if it's hard control. If I play a winter orb and you yell at me for that because I'm playing stacks, that's on you. All of these cards exist in the game together, and you can discuss whether or not beforehand that's the type of game you want to play right now, but I think you need to afford the ability for all of your friends to play group hug or play stacks every once in a while, you know?
Mm.
It's not like those cards don't exist entirely. It's just ridiculous.
Okay. So your vote is yes, the bolus.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely the bolus. Like
Morgan Sanchez, you're on the clock. What do you think of group hug?
I think that we all need a hug right now. It's past daylight savings time. We're all a little bit out there right now. Maybe it's more so me. Maybe I need a hug.
Uh-huh.
And that's why this is just like a very tactile conversation. So I'm gonna try and tiptoe around, give everybody a hug.
Just ASMR the rest of yours.
That would be horrible, and I would hate that. But if that's what you're into, I'm not going to judge you for it.
So what do you feel about group hug? And whether Kuro is the bolus for hating it?
Kuro mentioned that, like most Commander players, he is willing to play politics to a certain extent. And there's a give and take with that, I think, amongst like all of us when we play a game. You know, hey, I'm not going to knock you out next turn, so don't, you know, attack me with your 100 flampler kind of thing. But I think it gets a little messy with a group hug player specifically. I have the most experience with everybody playing mono blue braids. So that's everybody getting free stuff. And I love free stuff. Don't get me wrong. Some decks don't need free stuff. They're getting like freer stuff. And free stuff,
I got it.
With decks that are just like obviously very much looking for it, doesn't get fun after a while. I think that to Solani's point, hating a whole archetype is kind of mean, but I'm the type of person who builds a deck to play the cards in it. Not necessarily, I don't want everybody else to play their cards too. I don't want to be too nice. I think that the person playing a group hug deck is always smug to a certain extent. I think Kuro touched on that with like the new players of like, well, why are you targeting me, bro? I gave you 4 lands last turn. Whereas the people who are a little more entrenched in it are like, yeah, I get it. Like the reason why I play this is so that people hate me. I like to feel something. So
that's a wild. Okay. So yes. Okay. I see what you're saying. So your vote is that he is not the bolus.
I don't think Kuro is the bolus at all. I don't think I would conflate it with him like absolutely hating it, but nah.
So it all comes down to me. Who could have seen this coming?
It always comes down to you. You're the only one whose vote matters.
Stop giving away the bit.
You're going to get shot if you say things like that.
Am I going to get shot? I don't think.
All right, here comes the soundboard.
Michael, stop calling it out. It's me controlling it.
His hospital bills are out of control. All right, all right.
See, the trick is, as the group hug player, I am now in control of the game.
See?
Wow.
Fell right into that trap.
Okay. You're right. I do hate that. I do hate that. Okay. Here's the thing. It is fair to not like playing against a particular archetype, but to outright hate it, just to like a blanket hating it, that's not on. Like, I can't get on board with like hating it entirely. However, if the nuanced discussion I had with Curl was any indication of the fact that it is more gray than anything, I think what he's saying is he doesn't like group hug decks that don't take advantage of their own resource, like doubling or whatever, or doesn't have like an end game plan. And those decks can go straight to hell. So I, to an extent, am with Kuro. I think group hug decks that sit at the table as just a means to speed up a game or like to hypercharge decks, that can be fun, but you can't come at it with a deck that's already like tuned for that. That's going to like be so much more favored in a matchup like that. You have to come at it with something like, hey, yeah, after all this, I'm going to punish you for getting greedy with your lands. Or, hey, I'm get all your creatures out. Guess what? Insurrection. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to take advantage of what you're giving others or what you're giving yourself in spades. So I'm with Kuro in that regard. But outright hating an archetype altogether, I can't get on board with that. Like, I don't like stacks, but some of the games where stacks has come up are games that I remember most. They are either absolute treks through the mud that sucked, and I remember them, or they were like a fun challenge to like the rest of the table that ended up being inspiring and made some for like really cool moments in the game. So all said and done, I think that Kuro, you're not the bolus, but you're not clean either. You know what I mean? You're not like not a little bit evil for it. I think you're a little close-minded for hating on an entire archetype and phrasing it that way. But if you want to hate on like the sliver of group hug decks that like don't have a game plan, fine. I'm with you. But group hug in general, nah, it's a valid strategy. I can't hate on a thing that brings people joy. There's an entire podcast dedicated, like the EDH Social Contract. Mike and Lapper over there, they love group hug decks. And we talked at length on that podcast about it. But I'll say, like, is it my jam? Am I looking at group hug cards and going, this is what I want to do? The closest I've come is, like, brewing a Nekrosar list on Architect recently and thinking, ah, the good old days, huh? And then realizing that maybe this isn't a deck I want in paper. And then thinking, but maybe it's exactly the deck I want in paper. Anyway, I got the secret lair with Nekrosar in it, and I'm thinking about putting it together. Point is, Kuro, not the bolus, but come on now. Check yourself, buddy. Wowee, we came to a bolus. A bolus, but on the scale of bolus, we're calling it like a 4. Okay?
So wait, is he the bolus or is he not the bolus?
He's a bolus, but only technically because you have to swing one way or another.
Who's confused now?
I am. I thought that was a not the bolus vote. Excellent. I win. We did it, team.
Group hug.
Michael.
Play the yay sound effect.
Yay? Okay, you got it. All right, anyway.
So
what do we got, Morgan? You wanted to bring to us an idea that you had cooking.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like a new format that stems from group hug.
Oh.
That's called group huggability. And so what I'm going to do is...
A new format.
Ooh. Yeah, it's called Group Huggability. And I'm going to take some top commanders from EDH Rec, and you guys are going to give me your rating on how much you would like to or not hug them.
Okay. Oh, so more like a game.
Well, see,
more
you like can do that. You can make a deck out of it, too, if you want. That's the fun part that you can tie that in. It all ties back in together with cardboard, if you really want to make it like that.
Cardboard. All right. So hit us. We're going through the top 10 EDH rec commanders under the group hug theme. And we're talking about what their huggability score is.
The first one, it's on the top here, I promise you. We have it at 90 decks with a card. I'm doing these at random, so we're not just going to start from the top. I don't want to make it too easy. But this card is also known by a name that our wonderful French author Arnaud Gompertz calls Blue Ass Man.
Okay, all right.
This card is Kami of the Crescent Moon.
Here come the butt boy.
Moon is right.
Hell yeah.
What do we think, boys?
For the viewers who can't see anything, Kami of the Crescent Moon has a gigantic ass crack right in the middle of the card art.
And?
He's very happy about it.
He's smiling and naked. Honestly, huggability, this is going to be... I look at this guy and think, man, this guy gives a great hug, for sure. This guy gives such a good hug. I don't want to go off with a 10 right off the bat, but I think I might have to.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Kami of the Crescent Moon a friggin' 10. 10 out of 10. Butt boy gets a 10 from Mikey.
I don't know. I feel like it would be a bit of a sweaty hug.
Mm.
You know?
He is sitting at the top of that mountain.
Ah, so we get sweaty
pretty
sometime.
Pretty sweaty hug.
That's a vulnerable hug.
Fair?
I'm going to go with a 6 out of 10.
Damn, okay, that's cold. All right, Morgan, what else we got? We're going to do all 10 or are we going to do 5 of these?
We'll see what happens.
Okay, hit it. Next one.
Okay, this one should be easy.
Okay.
Or at least I hope it's easy. Quain Itinerant Meddler.
Okay.
Oh, that's the bun.
That's the little bunny.
That is the bun. That is the rabbit wizard.
Yeah. Wizard, yes. Michael, you want to go first on this one?
I have to give this a 9 out of 10. Some of my friends will murder me if I don't say that.
Why not a 10 out of 10?
I have to save a score for the top one. I have one in mind. No one's going to be more huggable than that one.
Oh,
but I will have to give this one a 9 out of 10 because...
soft and furry.
Yeah, buns are very soft and huggable.
Okay. Well, look, in this reality, am I not totally freaked out by rabbits?
Are you afraid of rabbits?
Yeah, I don't like them.
Well,
rabbits
that
bunnies.
Have clothes.
Okay, well, still, I mean, look, magic rabbit person, maybe I can reason... It's just the eyes freak me out. Look, rabbits, I don't... My buddy's got a bunny, and I don't make eye contact with that thing. I can't. It freaks. Look, it's not.
Oh no, you're not supposed to make eye contact with them. If you do that, they steal your soul.
Ah, Michael, you joke, but it hurts to think about.
He is scared.
I am freaked out by bunnies, but I will say, if I picture, fur.
If you picture Margaret Thatcher's head on it.
Okay, well, then I could give this a 7 out of 10. All right, next, let's keep it going. Yeah, all right, whatever. I'm getting vulnerable on my own friggin' podcast, all right? Now you guys know something that freaks me out. Don't use it against me. Ken, bleep that one.
I'll admit, I'm not super big on rabbits with clothes. If he was just like a regular bunny that had like a hat or something cute that we'll probably end up seeing in Bloomboro, I'd be fine with it.
Fun.
That is like a person as a rabbit, and I'm afraid of it. So I would go like a solid 2 out of 10 for Quain Itinerant Meddler.
You guys are disgusting.
What was your rating for Kami of the Crescent Moon? What'd you give Kami?
A dude looks creepy to me.
Damn. Okay.
He's going to be a 3. He's going to be a 3 because that is a sweaty hug. That is a sweaty hug, and I'm not about it.
Okay. That was a 10 for Mikey. Not going to lie to you. I think that hug is probably the best and you guys are missing out. Anyway, go
ahead.
Where
are your standards, Morgan, in the stratosphere?
Well, this is going to be really polarizing because this is a really horny commander.
Damn.
So I'm interested to see what your guys' opinions are as to the huggability of Zedru the Greathearted.
Mikey, why don't you take this one first? I want to temper my response to yours.
What makes this so horny? I don't understand. Oh, the horns. Okay. All right, well, look.
What, have you never been to Scotland?
No, I've never been to Scotland. Look, Zedru the Greathearted is a Minotaur monk, and she's, her sleeves look weird. They're just, anyway, I don't know.
I thought Zedru was a goat.
Exposed shoulders.
Zedru's a Minotaur?
That is
no,
an antelope
I don't believe you.
To me.
Yeah, It feels like a goat instead. It's Minotaur Monk. I see it right here in front of me. I'll say this looks like a standard, like a good hug, like a 7 or an 8. I'll give Zidruin a 7 or 8. Those are good hugs. All right, Michael, what about you? What did go for it?
I'm sorry. I'm just dumbfounded by the fact that this is a Minotaur. Really? 7 out of 10. Go to Morgan. I need to process this.
Okay, Morgan.
I'll shoot for like 5 out of 10 because Zedru probably smells good. They've got like an incense stick.
Yeah, fair.
But there's something about the fact that there are a lot of humanoid animals and things and kamis and spirits on this list.
Uh-huh.
It makes it hard to hug.
All right. What do you say we do 2 more and we get out of here?
All right. So this is going to be the shoo-in. We'll save the best for second to last.
Okay.
All right.
You know what?
This is
pioneers on this podcast.
Yes.
First podcast to save the best for second to last.
Best for second to last. Just to trip you guys up. This is the...
Who do we got?
Group hug commander.
I know who it is.
The one.
I know who it is. Guaranteed.
Feldegriff.
Oh, man. I was wrong. I thought you were going to name the boys from old Magic Grease. The couple from Miletus. Feldegriff.
No, we're going all the way back to alliances.
Feldegriff is a strong 0 from me.
What?
Don't approach a hippo. More people die because of hippos than they do from sharks. More people die. Hippos are dangerous, and Feldegriff isn't supposed to look friendly. First of all, Feldegriff, have you seen Rachel Weeks play her Feldegriff deck? That thing is destructive. That thing can tank everybody so easily. It's like it's not even friggin' trying, but it's so complicated, and it gets you in a sneaky way. Just like a hug from Feldegriff would kill you. That's a 0. 0 out of 10. I'm not alive after that hug, so I can't rate it.
Mike, you're an absolute coward. You know that? 0 out of 10. You wouldn't hug a hippo?
No.
You're smart, but you're also a coward.
A baby hippo? A little guy that won't kill me? I'll cradle him in my arms like a little baby. I'll give him a little nuzzle. Sure.
You don't know how big the Feldegriff is.
No, I think in scale, it looks like a full... Nah, the scale makes it look like a big old thing. Nah, you can't hit me with small. The moon's in the background. It looks like it's on a hill. Nah.
The moon is always in the background.
The moon is honestly not always in the background. We've had cards...
What does that mean, the moon is in the background? You're going to use the moon
is big
in the sky to determine how big something is? That's
you know
ridiculous.
What? As an Italian,
like
I thought you would understand that the moon in
something.
The eye would mean so much more to us. Look, Feldegriff is a 0. I'm not going to justify it any more than I already have. Don't make me say it again. I will die if I hug the hippo. Either
Fine.
Of
I'm
joy
rate it a 10,
or danger.
Just to offset your hubris.
Oh, go f*** yourself.
Morgan, it looks like you're the tiebreaker. Perhaps you're the one with 3 votes this time.
Wow. Look
so
at us
how
go.
Does it feel, Solani, to have all this power between us, finally? With
wow.
voting math. Doesn't it feel good?
I feel like...
A mutiny on our podcast? It's not like we're not a team, you dinks.
I feel like Winston Smith. With all the power in the world to overthrow the government.
Wait, who's Winston
Smith? But do you
Smith?
Have the power to overthrow the purple hippo with wings? I don't think so. I would hug the Feldegriff. 10 out of 10.
We
Winston
did it.
Winston Smith?
Finally, we did
it's
it.
It's that easy. This is just politics. Mark, yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But.
All right.
That's
God.
That's
your
it.
Ratings. Your ratings.
Oh,
Mark.
From 1984.
What are you, Baron
hey,
MW?
For all the listeners who are wondering, Winston Smith, why do I know that? It's from 1984, the book. You're welcome.
Nobody knows what that is.
I mean, look,
nobody
some
knows what
nerds
a book is.
Remember things, all right? Michael's one
nobody
of
Nobody remembers
nerds.
Books, Mark.
I'm sorry I had an education, Mike. I'm sorry.
To be fair, I read it in French in high school. So it was
You read it in French?
I went to a French high school, you ding dong. Of course I read it in French.
But you know English. It was written by an English author.
Yeah, but I read it in French for high school. Not just like, oh, let me grab this book for fun. No, it was foisted onto me by a French teacher going, you guys gotta read this. And I read it in French, understood basically nothing, because I was already dealing with a tenuous grasp on another language anyway. And then I was like, you know what? I did this already. I'm not doing this again in the language I understand. So now I Wikipedia summaries of books I've already technically read. So what? What? Too much vulnerability on your magic podcast? Yeah, I'm afraid of rabbits.
Okay.
Get a load of this oligarchical collectivist over here.
What the so fuck? A quick aside before we get to our last huggable, hopefully, commander is that Mark sent me his itinerary for MagicCon Chicago because I picked him up from the airport. And he sent it me a screenshot of his departure and arrival times. And I saw that they were in a language I did not understand because I was born and raised in the good old USA. And I thought he had been scammed because I'm like, what language is this? This is not, what is an aerial plane? And then I realized it was in French. Yeah. And I was very impressed because I don't know the English very well. And I definitely don't know other languages well either. So it was a humbling moment for me.
Yeah. Well, heads up, everybody. You're learning a lot about me. All right. Yeah, I speak French. Obviously. Quand j'ai grandi à Montréal, c'est sérieux, là? C'est moi qui parle en français en ce moment? Oh, check bay. Oh, check bay. Tout le monde qui écoute plus parce que je parle en français. Ben oui. Fais-le bay. Fais-le bay que je parle en français sur mon podcast, c'est-tu? Anyway, nobody understands what that means. And those who do, comment on YouTube or whatever.
None of those words are in the Bible.
Yeah, none of them are in the Bible. Nah. And honestly, I spoke with a Quebecois accent, so our French listeners are going to have a real hard time with that. They're going to hate it. Anyway, who's our number one?
I'll make sure
one?
That Arnaud checks it out and eviscerates you yeah, on the YouTube good. Comments.
Thanks, Arnaud. All right, hit us with the last one, Morgan.
All right. So this is going to be just unanimous agreement. This is going to be our group hug between all of us. This is our hyper 30 out of 30 possible points. It's Kainos and Tiro of Miletus.
Okay. Well, I mean, they seem very lovely and like they care a lot about each other. And will they care about me wanting a hug? Probably. But will they take off their armor for the hug? Because that looks really hard and uncomfortable. All these factors, I'm going to go with an 8. They seem nice.
Morgan, how dare you?
What?
How dare you not what? Pick Glunch as our last?
Okay,
do you
I was
even
thinking
glunch,
about it,
bro.
I was because you know what?
Do
I don't want to hug
even
a jellyfish.
Glunch.
I want to hug some hot Greek dudes. Is that so bad?
Look, I asked the two of them.
If you want to hug a jellyfish, you can tell everybody
if
you want to hug
were
a jellyfish.
Poly, and they said yes, but they were talking about their theism.
Oh, Michael, jeez. Why the... Is this what we've come to? Michael.
That
jellyfish?
Was a beautiful joke, it, Mike.
Yeah,
you cannot deny that.
No, it was a well-done pun, and that's the problem.
Not the well done pun.
It's a 10 out of 10.
Listen, this is like power couple extraordinaire. I don't like you if you don't like those two. I'm sorry. There's something wrong with you if you don't see the flavor text, you don't see the card, you don't see the art, and you're like, yep, 11 out of 10.
Morgan, get Dakota in here right now and ask his opinion on
he'll
those
say
this, two.
He'll say the
he'll
same
thing. He'll say the same thing.
Exact.
He'll say the exact
thing.
Same thing. Speaking of
what
good hugs.
How do you know this, Mike?
Speaking of, because it's a vibe thing. Speaking of good hugs, Dakota gives a great hug. That man can
oh,
give
did you
a
hug
great,
him?
Of course. In Chicago?
Oh, I love
very
that.
Nice. Also, hey, they were talking more, they were talking about polyamory. They were talking about polytheism. That's the energy that has.
You just took yeah. my joke.
I know. I said it that
you
way.
Stole
so
my
you can,
joke.
So now you hear the...
He steals our votes. He steals our jokes.
I tried to get you to repeat it, Michael. It's not like I didn't try. Anyway.
Okay, those ugh. Drums are gone.
I have too much going on the soundboard.
Right, what's all this then?
Guys, that's it for today's episode of the Bowlcast. We are going to bed. That's going to be
preferably the bed that has Kaidos and Tyros in it.
Oh, Michael, talk about being a
or
little
you
bit
mean
Zadru.
Glunch? I'm sorry, Solani. You mean the bed with Glunch in it?
No.
Jellyfish?
That's for the After Dark version of the podcast.
What is happening? Can we just say bye for real? Good. What is happening, everybody? Buy for real. Make sure to follow Morgan at Indigo Gentleman. Make sure to follow Michael at Games Freak SA. That's the letters SA. And you can check out gamesfreaksa.info for all Michael Solani related projects. And you can find me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. On Twitter and Instagram. I've got a link tree. Check that out. You've got comedy videos. You got my article series. And you've got events for more comedy shows in the future. Don't forget to follow us at Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter and email in at amithebowlus@gmail.com to share your story with us for the podcast or for the column. That'll do it for us tonight. It's time to scoot the day. Did I remember it? I remembered it, baby. You're damn right. It's time to go.